Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Some of you know me as a teacher. Some of you know me as the voice of the Eagles. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the match today between sin and salvation. And now Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in all its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation to the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And when God is your coach, you can't lose.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. I asked Ray if he would come and read our scripture today, because usually on Friday nights for the past 24 years, in fact, middle school on up, so they play on the other nights, people like hearing his voice. They like when he says, their child made a play. He's always an encourager. I've sat up in the booth with him. I've been a spotter for him. And what he tries to do is he tries to call every player's name when they do something positive. Don't we like it when our name is called? Sometimes we're shaking our head. We don't. You know, we usually don't like it when we find ourselves in trouble. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a children's sermon today. So I need you to be a children's audience. And children like to help me out. When I ask them to do things, they like to respond. So you're only going to get one chance. But I want you to think, when mom or dad were not real happy with you, when they wanted to get your attention, how did they address you? You know, a lot of times they, if you have three, four, five names, they put them all together, right? And they usually did it in a very loud manner. Have you got that? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, children, and I want you to, with the same intensity that your parents would be calling that name out, I want you to call that name out, all of us at one time. Are you ready? On three. One, two, three. Okay, that wasn't very good, but we're not going to get another chance because I don't think it's going to get much better than that. But the interesting thing sitting up here is, it made no sense. I could not pick out a name. But I want to tell you, God could. You know, God could hear each and every name so clear, because that's a characteristic of who God is. Now, in our passage here that Ray read. I'll get that. You know, the interesting thing is, this is a very difficult time in the life of the Israelites. They are struggling. I don't know if you know this or not, but But Ray found out that he had cancer. And what do you say to someone who is struggling, who has been in church all their life, who has tried to be an example of what God would have them to be, and all of a sudden they face devastation? John Elam has back problems. He's getting ready to retire, and now this has devastated him. Sue Sullivan called me. Her cancer is back. What do you say? The Israelites here are facing a battle that there's no way in their power they can win. What do you say? And here in Psalm 46, we see what the music directors are saying to the people. They're telling them all about who God is. But I want us to focus on one verse. I want us to focus on, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Now, if we were to look at the word "be" in the Hebrew, our English language is very lacking. Because in the Hebrew and Spanish and a lot of other language, one word's going to tell you a whole lot more than the English language is going to tell us. It's going to tell you who it's speaking to. It's going to tell you the intensity. It's going to tell you even the volume that's going to come out. And as you said your name, that's what it's saying here. It's saying, "Ronnie, be. Ronnie, be." And then what are we to do? Be still. Be still. Now, a number of years ago, back when I was in Katy, we had a stop sign in our neighborhood. And I'm driving that morning, going into work, and I come up on that stop sign, and I look to the right and to the left, and there's a Katy police officer sitting there. So I stop and wave at him and keep going, and he comes out with his lights on. I'm thinking, he knows I'm a minister. Maybe there's an issue. He wants to get my attention. So I jump out of the car to meet him. You're not supposed to do that anymore, folks. Don't ask me how I know that. Anyway, I jump out there, and he comes up to me, and I'd recognized him. He had been in church a couple of times. And he comes up and says, "Mr. Webb." Now, that's not a good sign. "Mr. Webb, do you know why I stopped you?" "No, sir." That's a good response. "No, sir." And he says, "Because you failed to stop at that stop sign." I said, "No, you're wrong." See, I even waved. Did you not see me wave at you? Why would I run a stop sign if I waved at you? He said, "Mr. Webb, you didn't stop. You didn't come to a complete..." I did. I looked at your lug nuts on your wheel, and they did not come to a full... I did stop. "Mr. Webb, stop. Be still. I'm not going to give you a ticket if you'll be quiet." "Yes, sir, but I did stop." He gave me this look, and he said, "Mr. Webb, we've had a lot of complaints about people rolling through this stop sign, running this stop sign, and I'm going to give you a warning." Now, I wasn't real happy. Now, you know what "stop" stands for, right? Skid tires on pavement. Or if you're like a lot of people today, when I drive into work on 565, I get to the intersection of I-10, and it's backed up, and everybody's in a hurry, and everybody wants to go, and that means speed up, or what did I say? Speed through, oh, please. You know, we're impatient. We don't like being still. I went home that afternoon. I'm still boiling about that warning ticket. And I go up to my wife and said, "Honey, can you believe the audacity of that officer to pull me over?" I even waved at him, honey. She said, "Ronnie, you never stop." Ooh, that hurt. She said, remember in driver's ed, they told you to 3 seconds. Well, I guess I thought that meant as soon as I started putting my foot on the brake to go. But 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, go. I want you to know that I had to go find that officer. I pulled him over. Yeah, I was following him. I was flashing my lights at him, and I pulled him over, and he got out of the car. And he had his hand like this. And I said, sir, I just want to ask for your forgiveness. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness because I was wrong. I will now do a better job at stopping. Now, the neat thing about that is the following Sunday, he came to church and joined. Now, and I can't remember. I racked my brain. I don't know if he accepted the Lord or what he did, but he joined the church. I believe it had something to do with integrity, of me being still. And it didn't happen when he pulled me over. It happened when I realized that I was wrong. And what God's saying is he's calling out our name and he's saying, be still. Now, why do we need to be still? I mean, a lot of things are going on. And I'm sure that Ray and maybe you have been in a situation where you've just been so overwhelmed, and it's a natural reaction to do what? To try to figure it out. We try to let the world kind of feed in and say, well, these are your options, this is what you should do, and whatever. And God says, be still. I went to court, jury summons. Okay, I went to jury summons, and the judge was asking us questions and whatever. Then he would talk to the lawyers, and when he didn't want us to hear something, he turned on what was called the white noise. You know what that's like? You know, in fact, I was going to have that played in here, but some of you have hearing aids, and I've been told that when that white noise comes on, you want to turn those hearing aids off or take them out, and I didn't want you to miss the last half of the sermon. But we're distracted all the time. And what we need is we need a white noise to cancel everything out. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they that are still shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk. They shall not faint. The people were in a difficult place in life, and what do you say? Well, here's God saying, Ronnie, be still. Be still. What's the next word? No. Now, what do I know a lot about? You know, I could talk to you about the greatest teacher you'll ever meet. I've lived with her. She's the greatest middle school teacher, period. Because, see, I've been a great example of a middle school student for a number of years. I've trained her well. But she is phenomenal. But I don't want to talk about that. I could talk about love, puppy love. You know, I remember when I first fell in love and somebody said, oh, you know, that's not really love, that's puppy love. Well, I want to tell you, it's love. But I want to talk about that. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about something a little different, something I've learned quite a bit about here lately. An egg. Now, on, what was the last holiday we just had, Columbus Day or something like that? I had grandkids, so we invited one of their friends to go with us, and we were going to go get some eggs. My grandkids love going to Farmer Bill's house because he has chickens. Well, this little girl has never gathered eggs before, so we decided we'd give her an opportunity to gather eggs. And so she gathered this box of eggs. And what do we know happens when we take an egg and... what happened? See, y'all thought it was going to break, didn't you? Thank you, Bree. It didn't break, right? See, I had a physics teacher that stood on top of his desk and dropped an egg, and we all went, because we didn't realize he had a pillow down there. Now you're saying, oh, that's not a real egg. Okay, if I drop it now, oh, you want to hand me that? See, there are some things that we learn about eggs. Now, most eggs that we see, or where do you get an egg from? Where? The pond? The farm. Okay. Some people I thought were going to say thrifties. But you know, we know a lot about eggs, right? And you're going to learn a few more things. You know, a lot of eggs are white, but these eggs are the best. You know why they're the best? Because they're Farmer Bill's eggs, and they're free. Farmer Bill said, Brother Ronnie, anytime you need some eggs, come on over, and you can have some eggs free. They taste a whole lot better when they're free. But you know, Lori Howard told me this the other day in the kitchen. She said, you know, and she has what I call yard eggs, and she says, you don't put them in the refrigerator. If you don't wash a yard egg, you can leave them out on the counter for a month and they're good. So I Googled it. I looked it up. Found out that that's true. But if you wash a yard egg and you put it in the refrigerator, it will last 6 months, Miss Lori. See, are you learning something about eggs? How about this egg? You know, I thought about taking and throwing it at someone. But that's a little bit of white noise we don't need. See, Isabella grabbed this egg as well, and it had this little marking on it. I don't know if you can see it or not. But this is a special egg. It was not laid by a hen. This is what they call a snake egg. It won't break. You can't eat it. How do you know if an egg's good or bad? You put it in a thing of water, and the bad egg will do what? It'll float. You don't want to eat an egg that's floating, folks. It's not good. You know how long it takes to boil an egg? 6 minutes. That's after the water is boiling. How many of you want to wait? I'm guessing it's going to take 2 or 3 minutes to boil the water. How many of y'all want to wait 10 minutes for a boiled egg? I remember one time I said, I remember having a 3-minute egg timer. I thought that'd give me a hard-boiled egg. I ended up with what? Soft-boiled egg, yeah. Okay, we've talked a lot about eggs. I could give you recipes that I looked up on the internet for microwave egg dishes. 3 seconds. Pretty good, isn't it? If we were to pause right now and we counted, each one of us in our brain, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, that's about as far as we want to go with silence. To be still. He said to be still and know. Okay, you know a lot about eggs. Do you know more about God than you know about eggs? You know, I found 19 names for God in the Old Testament. And the Hebrew is here. And Fred, they're up on the screen. I know you can't read these, but they're going to be in the back. I forgot them. They're in my office. But I've got this sheet with scriptures that show you where it is. And if you'll give me a minute, after Sunday school, stop by the kiosk and I'll have them in there. But here's some things about God. He's mighty, strong. He's the creator. He's the mighty one of Jacob. He's Lord. The Lord will provide. The Lord who heals. The Lord our banner. The Lord who satisfies me. The Lord our peace. Lord God. The Lord of righteousness. Lord our shepherd. Lord is there. Lord of hosts. Most high. God of seeing. God of everlasting. Mighty God. These are some of the characteristics about God. Now, Martin Luther in the 1500s was out. He was in law school. He was a very prominent individual in the community. And he was out in the countryside. A big storm came up, and I'm not sure what all happened in that storm. But Martin Luther made a vow to God. God, if you just allow me to live through this, I will serve you. Now, have you ever made something like that with God? God, if you just get me out of this situation, I'll do whatever you want. Well, you know what Martin Luther did? He became a priest, a Catholic priest. And they sent him to Wittenberg to go to school there, and he did such a good job, they even had him teach. He became a doctor of theology in Wittenberg Seminary or college or whatever it was. And he's famous now for nailing his thesis on the Wittenberg door. See, what he did is he studied the Psalm 46. And when he got to verse 10, and he said, "Be still and know that I am God," he began to say, "Who is God?" And it said, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And what he did is he realized that God and Jesus were one. And he began to realize the characteristics of Jesus. And he said, "Jesus is my king. I don't need a priest." What are the characteristics of my king? Do you know my king? Do we have sound?
He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful.
Try this again.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King.
That's my King. Martin Luther. 5 years after he nailed his thesis on the Wittenberg door, he wrote one of the greatest hymns of the period of German history. A mighty fortress is our God. You know, when we become a Christian, it doesn't mean our life will be easy. We'll hit the carefree life. If we look at Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In Psalm 91, when I face troubles. When we go through the dark times of life, where's your hope? Do you know my King? Martin Luther was in church most of his life. It wasn't until after he had his doctorate that he realized where the absolute truth came from. It comes from God's Word. So many times what we do is we run so fast, we don't hear the Word of God. Be still and know that I am God. When we know who God is, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, He comes into our life and He transforms us. He changes us into the image of Christ. We are here with a purpose that God has put in place, and that's to glorify Him in all that we do. It doesn't make any difference if we're going through the easy road or the tough road. We are to glorify God in all that we do, and in Him we will find joy and peace and comfort. My question to you today is, do you know my King?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.